Amen. Don't be a sour grapes all the time. Amen. You ever met somebody that's so spiritual that they're sour grapes? Amen. You ever met anybody like that? You don't want to be like that. Amen. I mean, their bottom lip's so low. They're just sad sack. Amen. You remember sad sack? That's what they look like. But God wants us to be joyful and happy in the Lord. Hey, if you're saved, you can be happy. Amen. If you got something to, if you're saved, you got something to live for. And if you're not saved, get saved so you got something to live for. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 in your Bibles tonight. Follow along, please, as I read this passage of Scripture. Now, this passage of Scripture tells us that we're living in a time that perilous times are here. And God wants us to be able to identify what is going on in our world today and how we as Christians can avoid being sucked into this vacuum cleaner that is happening in the world. I don't know if you've noticed, but the world is getting worse and worse and worse. And it affects God's people. And God's teaching us in His Word that there are some things that God's people have to be careful of and avoid. And some of them are pretty sharp and straightforward, but God tells the truth all the time. And His Word is always important for us to understand. By the way, that's why a church like ours, we highlight the Word. Amen? We're going to take the Word and lift it up because the Word of God is what's true. It'll never change. It'll never change. No matter what society does, no matter what the world does, the truth of the Bible will never change. And so God wants us to see it and understand it. Now let's begin with verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible says, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Now, I want you to notice verse 5. That's my text tonight. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for the Bible tonight. I pray your help and your blessings as we open it tonight and as we teach it and preach it. God, I pray that you give us open hearts to hear what your word says, God. Thy word, Lord, tonight is true. It's never going to change. It's always right on the mark. And God, tonight I pray that as we look into the Bible tonight, you use your word to help us in our lives for your glory and honor. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, God reveals to us in the Bible what happens in the last days. Bible, God wants us to know some of these things. God wants us to understand some of these things because these things that are happening in the last days can affect us. They can come in and infect us would probably be a better word. And God is teaching Timothy, young Timothy, these things. Who he is a young preacher. He's a young preacher preaching the Bible, and God's telling him, Timothy, now there's some perilous times that are going to come. There's some perilous times that are going to invade us. There's some perilous times that are going to come, and he's given him a list of them. Now, I want you to know that at the time when these things were given, they were not really a very prevalent and an important thing. In other words, these things that were given in this passage about the last days Timothy could not see many of them or most of them occurring yet. Timothy did not know or understand that these things would occur. And I'm sure to him, he thought some of these things were crazy, that no, that's not ever going to happen. Can I tell you, 20 years ago, I'd have never thought things are going to be in existence in our country today that they are now. I never thought they'd be. I never thought there would be things going on in this world. That'd be awful. But God teaches us. God wants to warn us about some things. I want you to notice what God says here. He says that there are perilous, in the last days, perilous times shall come, dangerous. The word perilous here means the word dangerous. Now, he's not talking about dangerous as far as falling off a cliff or personal injury. He's talking about spiritual danger. Spiritual danger. There are some dangerous things spiritually in our world. And can I tell you, most Christians are asleep to them. Most Christians aren't even aware that the devil is infiltrating and working in these things. But he is. And so God said, hey, perilous times, they're going to come. They're going to be here. He said, verse number 2, he gave us the first identifying mark, and he said that men shall be lovers of their own selves. God said men will be lovers of their own selves. Can I tell you what? I believe this is talking about two different things. I believe it's talking about selfishness. I believe men are going to love doing their own thing, whatever they want to do. God said that's a sign of the last days, perilous times, dangerous times, he said, when men think more about themselves. Can I tell you that there is a lot of divorce today? A lot of divorce occurs. Hear me tonight. A lot of divorce occurs because people just are in love with themselves. They're in love with themselves. They want what they want. And if somebody doesn't treat them exactly the way they want to be treated, that's it. They're going to throw that whole marriage away. And then you have to see kids and families don't have parents. Or a one parent is trying to raise kids in a home. I'm telling you, divorce, one of the big problems with divorce and big reasons for divorce today is because people love themselves. They want what they want. Can I tell you what? As a Christian, that ought not be our spirit. Our spirit ought to be giving to each other all the time. You know, a good marriage is not 50-50. A good marriage is 100-100. Amen. That's what it takes to have a good marriage. You say, preacher, you're a preacher. You must have a perfect marriage. My wife's laughing over here. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. You know why? You take two people with two different genders, two different backgrounds, two different ways of thinking. Of course, the men's are always right. But you got two different ways of thinking, and you put them together for the rest of your life, and you're never going to have a disagreement? I don't care how good a Christian you are. You're going to have a disagreement from time to time. Amen? But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. When you take those vows that you gave your mate on that altar seriously, and you say, dear Lord, I take those vows seriously. And I want to tell you something. If you give of yourself, give of yourself rather than expect. I think sometimes people enter into a marriage with the wrong expectations. They expect it to be peaches and cream. I know a young couple one time, they got married, and the wife was discouraged after 6 months. And I said, what's wrong? She said, well, I thought my husband would be home every day. That's what she thought. She thought my husband should be home with me every day. That's what she thought. The only problem is that you got to eat every once in a while. And you got to pay the bills. And you know, really, her focus was on herself. She was looking at herself and what she wanted. And may I tell you what? It's a recipe for a destructive home. You know what's going to help a home more than anything is when two people give of themselves to each other. There's not too many amens in here tonight. I might have to stay on this point a little while longer. Amen. Listen. Usually, and Jesus said about divorce, that divorce often came because of hardness of heart. Amen. Someone in that marriage wants everything their way. Let me tell you something. God's told us to meet each other's needs, not our own. If we focused on the needs of our mates rather than our own, I think we'd have a lot happier homes. Amen. Amen. I'm simply saying, God said the last days, people are going to love their own selves. The second thing I think this talks about is homosexuality. Now, I'm a Bible preacher, and I'm going to preach the Word of God because it is true. Amen. And people don't like the Word of God today because it doesn't fit their lifestyle. But God is true. God is right. And I want to tell you something. God said homosexuality is wrong. Don't ever put your mind in those directions. Amen. Keep your mind clean. Keep your mind pure. It's not of God. Can I tell you, even some evil, a lot of evil things are going on in our world today. And God said, look, it's the last days. It's time. Jesus is going to come soon. Perilous times come, men will be lovers of their own selves. Then we see the next word is covetous. What is covetous? It's somebody who always wants what somebody else has. Covetous. Always wanting more. Never satisfied. Never content with what you have. Can I tell you something? God, it's not how much you have that makes you joyful. It's how contented you are with what you have that makes you joyful. You know, you could be driving that old jalopy and still be happy. Amen. It doesn't matter. You know, our problem is we often compare ourselves with other people. Well, look what they have. I think I deserve that. We become covetous. God teaches us a different lifestyle. God's teaching us to be content with what we've got. Amen? If you drive a Ford, you just have to suffer for it. Amen? You just have to endure. Listen, don't fall in love with yourself. Fall in love with the Lord Jesus. Fall in love with the Lord Jesus and give everything you can in life to the Lord Jesus. Amen. We see people always wanting, covetous. Yeah, I remember a day when you could go out and talk to kids about the Lord, bring them in on a bus. But you know, they're distracted today. Video games and all these pleasures are out there to distract them and take them away from God. Can I tell you what? There's nothing more important than seeing your children grow in God and in God's ways. Amen. Don't let anything keep you from bringing your kids to church, to hearing the Bible, to hearing the Word of God. Why? It will make them wise into salvation. Amen. You say, well, I go to church because it feels good. Let me tell you something. You ought to get out of that because it's still good for you. Do you take medicine because it feels good? No. But is it good for you? You better hope it does. Amen. I'm simply saying, when I was a kid, my mother made me eat my peas. I had to eat peas when I was a kid. I hated peas when I was a kid. And I'll never forget one night, my mom, She had a plate and I didn't eat my peas. She said, eat your peas. And I said, I don't want to. Ooh. She said, okay. I was shocked. I was shocked. I got up the next morning, went into the kitchen, ready to pour up a bowl of my fruity pebbles. But there wasn't fruity pebbles there. There was peas, cold peas. And my mom said, now, if you're going to have cereal, you're going to eat those peas before it. You know, cold peas, you know, the only thing worse than warm peas is cold peas. Amen. But, you know, I tell you, I'm glad she taught me that lesson. Because I eat peas now. I like peas now. Amen. I like them. They're good. I'm simply saying tonight, we live in a covetous world. Don't get covetous. Don't get covetous. Hey, God knows our needs. God knows your needs. Trust Him for your needs. Don't live a covetous life. Why? My home is only this size home, and I think I deserve a bigger home. Can I tell you what? None of us deserve anything. But God is good to us to give us what He provides. Thank God. Covetousness. He said it's a sign of the last days. When you start seeing people covetous, you know, I worry about this country. I'll be honest with you. We can't keep spending money like we're spending in this country. You can't keep taxing people so high. There's a breaking point. And when they reach that, and people don't get the things that they want or expect or are used to getting, I tell you what, there's going to be some trouble. Mark my words. That'd be trouble. By the way, do you know there are principles in the Bible for government to follow that will make governments blessed by God too? Amen. That's another sermon. I'll have to hit that one some other time. But I'm saying tonight, we got to be careful. He talks about boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Can I tell you something, young people? You ought to obey your parents. You ought to obey your parents. What does that mean? That means don't ever backtalk your parents. But, don't ever say that. Say yes, sir. Say yes, ma'am. You say, call my parents, sir and ma'am. That's a horrible thing. Oh, yeah, they'll really die if you call them sir and ma'am. I'm simply saying there should be some respect for parents in homes today. When dad says it or mom says it, young people, you ought to do it right away. Amen. Well, my dad, he's just too old-fashioned. Well, he may be smarter than you think. When I was young, I didn't think my dad was very smart. But I tell you what, I wish he was back now so I could learn some more from him. Right. My dad was pretty smart. Disobedient to parents. You know, this is a sign. You know, there kids run the homes today. Whatever that child wants, boy, they get. It shouldn't be that way. Say, preacher man, you're old fashioned. Yeah, and it's hopeless too. I don't plan to change anytime soon. You say, that just doesn't fit society. I know. Look at society. Look at what's going on in our world today. Craziness. Unholy, unthankful. Verse 3, without natural affection. You know what that verse means, without natural affection? It means hard-hearted to your family. That's what it means. It means hard-hearted to your family. Can I tell you what? Families ought to get along. Families ought to get along. You say, well, you don't know Uncle Joe. He's a mean old dude. You don't know Aunt Sally, preacher. But you know what? I think families ought to strive to get along. Amen? There's always somebody in that in a family. There's always somebody in a family that's just a half a bubble or two off. Amen? Y'all laughing because you know what I'm talking about. Amen? I'm just the only one bold enough to say it. Amen? But we all have some family members. They're just not, they're kind of still in space in vacation Bible school somewhere out there in the distance. You know what I mean? I know that. And I know that sometimes there are situations in families that are not good and you have to avoid them. But families ought to love each other, get along. You kids ought to love your mom. Kids ought to go to your mom and say, Mom, thank you for all you do. Thank you for cooking and cleaning. You ought to go to and thank them. Thank you, Dad, for working hard. Thank you, Mom, for working hard for me. Young people, you have a home and a bed and a pillow and a car and air conditioning that you get to enjoy. You know why? Because your parents are working hard. They're working hard. And they do it because they love you. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to appreciate them. Amen. When was the last time, kids, you wrote a note to your parents? To Dad, to Mom, said, thank you for all the work you do. You're the best, Mom. You're the best, Dad. Hey, listen, don't wait till Mother's Day. Don't wait till Mother's Day. Tell them you love them. But you see, our world is twisted and changed today. Satan works in division. He wants to divide homes. He wants to divide families. And that's what he's talking about here when he says, without natural affection. I was brokenhearted. I heard this story about a lady in Moore, a grandmother who abused her child. She abused her child, hit the child, and the child died. And she took the child and put the child in a trash can and tried to make it look like the child had gotten in the trash can after some toys, left that grandchild in the trash can for 4 days before the authorities found out about it. And now they've got her in custody. They're charging her. That I can't fathom anybody who would do anything like that. But isn't that a sign of what we're seeing in the Bible? I mean, that happened right here in Moore. Now, by the way, the lady hasn't gone to court, so I'm not going to call her guilty until they prove her guilty in a court. But may I tell you something? We've got to keep a natural affection. A natural affection. Amen. You know, there's too many children divided from their parents. There's too many husbands divided from their wives. There's too many wives divided from their husbands. It's a sign that the latter days are here. And I don't know about you, but I want to keep all the good glue I can in my home and my family. I want to keep God's word there. I don't care if I get up sometime and don't feel like coming to church, and I'm coming to church. You know why? It's glue. It's glue for your home. Amen. You say, well, I don't get anything out of the sermon. You may not get everything out of the sermon, but it's good for you. It's good for you. And listen, natural affection is missing today. Can I encourage you to not let division, and a lot of times division comes because we want our own will. I'm thinking of myself, and somebody doesn't give me what I want, and so I'm going to be unhappy with them. That causes division. That causes hurt. Causes hurt in a home. Causes hurt in a church. Causes hurt in a family. And this is where we live. This is our society today. Without natural affection, truth breakers, he says in verse 3. People who agree to something, but then they break their agreement. Let me tell you something. Your word ought to be your bond. If you say you're going to do something, you know what you ought to do? Go to the ends of the earth to make sure that you do what you say you're going to do. Amen. If you know you owe a debt, make sure you pay that debt. Amen. Truth breakers. There's people who make an agreement and then down the road, well, I can't keep that agreement. Well, you shouldn't have signed it in the first place. Amen. Amen. But, you know, I'm simply saying today, people need to keep their word. People need to keep their word. If you make an agreement, stick to it. You know why? Because it's your character on the line. Amen. Amen. Truth breakers. False accusers. Boy, we live in that kind of day. It's amazing how the devil will rise up and accuse people falsely. You know, the devil, it comes from the devil because he is the accuser of the brethren. Hey, anytime you start wanting to accuse other people, you better be careful. You better be careful because that's what the devil does. The devil accuses people. It's funny. Preachers, somebody accused me of something I had no idea. It was almost laughable. And I thought, where'd that come from? And I know where it came from. It came from the devil. It came from the devil. I'm simply saying tonight, keep your agreements. Don't be a false accuser. Hey, if you don't know it's true about somebody, don't repeat it. Don't say it. You might be wrong and have to eat crow. Crow isn't very tasty. How many of you ever had to eat crow? I don't like crow. But see, the devil will tell you, whisper in your ear, hey, did you know this about so-and-so? Well, hey, if it's true, pray for them. Amen. If it's true, pray for them. If it's not true, don't worry about it. That's an easy way to handle it. Amen. But whatever you do, don't be a false accuser. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Now, the Bible teaches that those that are doing good, in the latter days, people will hate those that are doing good. I mean, if you're trying to serve the Lord, you're not going to get much encouragement from the world. The world's not going to encourage you. The world may try to discourage you, but I'm going to tell you something. God's on your side. God's on your side, and that's all that matters. You're living right and trying to serve the Lord as best you can. You may be imperfect, but I want you to know that God says, hey, listen, I'm for you. If you're saved here tonight, you're on the winning team. And if somebody says something false about you, it really doesn't matter. You're still on God's team. Amen. Amen. So God's saying, all right, they'll despise those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Boy, they think a lot of themselves. There's a lot of people like that. A lot of people high-minded, heady. You know that word heady? I looked that word heady up. You know what it means? It means they fall headlong forward. They fall a lot. They're always falling. You know, the Bible says, now to him that is able to keep you from falling. You know, God's able to do that. It's sin and the devil. When you get into sin and the devil, that's when we fall. But God's able to keep us from it. God's able. We just got to walk in his ways, walk in his paths. Now, we come to verse 5. It's a long ways around. But we see verse 5, and this is really the crux of the point, is that it explains all these things that are going on in the latter days. We see these things happen even now. And as they happen right now, there's something, a characteristic that God is teaching us to watch out for. And it's in verse number 5. It says, having a form of godliness. Now, wait a minute. He's talking about those that are have all these characteristics. Disobedient to parents, without natural affection, despises of those that are good, heady, lovers of pleasure, more the lovers of God. These are people that still want a form of godliness. That word form means like a formation, like you'd form concrete, you'd make a form. In other words, they want themselves to appear as if they're right, but the truth is, down deep, they're really not. They're really not. God says, these people, they still want a form of godliness. They still want to look and appear. They want the appearance that they're good. You know what I find in the world? You find evil people that still want you to think they're good. I was watching a show one time and about a guy. It was a show about a man who murdered his wife. And he got up and he said, and everybody said, you know, he may have done that, but he's really not a bad guy. He may have done some of these things, but there's a lot of good in him. Do you see how that fulfills scripture right here? When it's saying that in the latter days they can do these things, but yet they still want a form of godliness. It's amazing. And what it really is that people do these wrong things. They salve their conscience. Are you with me? They salve their conscience to make you think that, oh, they're still so good, but yet they go against everything that God says to do. They have this outward appearance. They want to look real, but there's just something wrong with their real Christianity. You know, I believe when you meet a real Christian, you'll know it. You'll know it. But there are some who want to appear godly. There are some that want to appear righteous, but really, the truth is they have these things in their life. And may I tell you what? God told us something. God told us to do this. Notice he said, from such, turn away. God said, don't get close to people like that. Now, we should love everybody. We should treat everybody good. But I want to tell you something. When there's somebody that's got this form of godliness, oh, they have this. They look and want to appear so good, but yet they follow all these other things that are going on in the passage. God said, stay away. Stay away from them, God said. Avoid them. That's what God said. You know why? Because they'll rub off on you. They'll give you a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. It's a false appearance. It's not real. It's a fakeness. And boy, I'll tell you something. We live in a world where people want to be fake today. People want to be fake. They don't want anybody to think anything bad of them, but at the same time, they want to do bad things and evil things in their life and salve their conscience as they do all these things. God said, from such, turn away. That's what he said. You say, whew, that's pretty heavy, preacher. I know, but can I tell you something? They will rub off on you. They will rub off on you. See, God's told us to live our life clean and decent and right and pure, honest, have good character, live with joy in our heart. God's commanded us to live that way. And if we don't live that way, we're going to want to take on a form of godliness. Oh, listen, avoid the form. Don't try to make yourself a good Christian. Just be one. Amen. Don't try to show everybody that you're a great Christian. Just be one, and people will know it. People will know it. Oh, listen. We live in a day and age when there is this form of godliness out there, this picture of godliness. And do you know that the devil has a substitute righteousness? The devil. Satan himself has this substitute righteousness. It's this false, fake righteousness. But it's not real. It's not of God. God said, of such, turn away. And oh, hey, we got to be Christians who turn away from that sort of thing. He gives another characteristic of them, verse 7. He says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, it's amazing how much people know today. We live in a day when there's a lot of information. You can get on the internet and look up anything. You can have all the information you want. People have a lot of knowledge today, but they can never come to the knowledge of Christ. Never come to the knowledge of Christ. This is what God is talking about in the passage. God's revealing it to us. God's pulling it up to show it to us. And he's showing it to us because he's saying, hey, look, it's out there. It's out there. But there's no substitute for just being a real Christian who loves God, serves God. And even when you're real, you're still going to be imperfect. Amen? Even when you're real, you're going to be imperfect. But I want to tell you something. There's a big difference between somebody who's real with imperfections and somebody who's putting on a godly front. They want others to think so godly of them. But the truth is that, as they used to say, the proof is in the pudding. Amen? So I give you this tonight as an admonition to all of us to live our lives sincere and genuine, to live every day for the Lord as best we can every day. When you stumble, just get back on your face to God and get right back up and keep on going. Amen? Just be real in your life. When you ever get to the place in life when things in life, sin and things try to grab a hold of you, but yet you still want that outward form of godliness. Oh, don't everybody think of me. I want to tell you something. You're falling into a trap. You're falling into a trap that the devil has. Just live your life sincere. Live your life genuine. You know, there's something wonderful about a genuine, genuine, sincere Christian. I'm gonna close with a story about a man that I knew when I grew up. His name was Jim White. Jim White was the quietest man in church. Jim White, he was probably in his 60s when I knew him and I was a boy growing up in church. But Jim White was a bachelor. He never got married. I don't think he could ever speak to a woman. He was just a shy guy. He was just, you ask him a question and it took him about 5 minutes to give the answer. But Jim White was a genuine, sincere man. And everything he did, he just dripped with sincerity. He was genuine. He wasn't worried about what you thought he was. He was just trying to be what he should be for the Lord. And Jim White, I'll never forget, Jim White was this guy that would come up to the church we lived where snow grew very deep. I grew up in Colorado. And Jim White was always the first man at church plowing out the church. And then he'd unhook the plow and he'd take the Suburban and he'd go and he'd pick up all the kids and the kids would come to church. Jim White was very genuine. I went up on a Tuesday night to church and we had a baptistry and there was a downstairs in our church and the baptistry was dripping from the top floor down to the bottom floor. And there was Jim White on a Tuesday night fixing the drips. And I remember going into the closet down there and Jim White was covered with water from the dripping of the water in the baptistry. He was trying to fix that problem. He didn't say a word, didn't make much of himself, didn't make much of his job, but I want to tell you something. Jim White was always just faithfully serving, always faithfully there, just plodding on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, I believe there's a lot of rewards in heaven for people like that. A lot of rewards. A lot of rewards. We have this idea today that a good Christian has to be this sensational, amazing, incredible person. I want to tell you something. A lot of that might not be very genuine. Where you find genuineness is in just faithfulness, dedication, sticking with it through your hard times and praying when you're hurting and seeking God when you don't know what to do. Just living a genuine Christian life. And you know, I fear a lot of Christians today, they're interested in an entertainment type of philosophy. Entertain me, preacher. I need some entertainment. Listen, I don't do cartwheels. Amen. I don't spit wooden nickels. But I'll tell you what will help you. Sincere, living sincere, godly every day, faithful, just keeping on serving, praying, working, giving, going, loving your home, loving your family, just be real every day of your life. And I want to tell you something, that is where God's greatest blessings in life are. They are. So that's God's admonition to us. He says, let's be real. Let's not allow these things to infect us. Let's not put on a form. Let's not let people be worried about what people think about us. Let's be worried about what God knows about us. Let's live that way. Let's give our minds and our hearts just to pleasing God. Because really, in the end, it doesn't really matter what anybody thinks about you. It doesn't really matter. What really matters is what God thinks about us. Amen. And let's let that be what we pursue in life, is what God knows about us. Let's bow our heads tonight.